Journal that when you do family studies of patients with lung cancer, where the patient with lung cancer does induce the enzyme, that it doesn't seem to follow any straightforward genetic pattern that we know of. So that there isn't really enough evidence to start doing genetic counseling on the basis of these very preliminary findings. In fact, that would be a very wrong thing to do. Now, your second question about the personal pollutants and industrial pollutants. By personal pollutants, I just really mean cigarette smoke, the fact that you generate the thing that is polluting your respiratory tract. And by industrial pollutants, you'd really break those into two categories. Those that the community would be exposed to, that is from the smokestacks coming down onto the general population, and those that the particular industrial worker is exposed to in the workplace, those two broad categories. Yes, yes, that's a major source of air pollution, is the combustion of fossil fuels.
Before I ask the question, I should state that I've 20 years at a tobacco company, but I don't want you to answer to it.
I think it's fair to say that the mechanisms, the precise mechanisms for producing the lung cancer are unknown. And we know as little about that as we know about the induction of any cancer. Similarly, the precise cause for the chronic bronchitis is unknown. The exact biochemistry for how the smoke interacts with the tissue to produce the inflammatory reaction is unknown. So that I think that we, as I understand the scientists that I talk to in the tobacco industry, I think that they're prepared to say that there is a undeniable statistically relationship between cigarette smoking and these diseases. The precise mechanism for the production of those diseases, we just don't know, and there's a great deal of ignorance about that. And it's particularly in those areas that we need a great deal of research, because if we understood the mechanisms better, we could do far more in preventing and indeed treating the diseases.
The sugar angle, I was really interested in, as you probably know, a lot of people give up smoking immediately, go to the candy, they go for sugar.
It's an interesting speculation, but insofar as I know, there's no more reason to believe that that's the key issue than a number of other things in tobacco smoke which could be key in this situation.
The person, and this is the last one, and for this reason, tonight we're going to have coffee afterwards, and Dr. Hobbs has agreed to stay, and we can ask questions there, provided we don't monopolize it. Last question.
Doctor, I'd like to ask two questions. The first is, what caused the first hyperventilated? And the second is, what can they do to relieve it once they have become in that situation?
Well, a person can hyperventilate for a large number of reasons, and I don't think that we could really go into that. It wouldn't be fruitful to go into all of the different causes at this moment. And the only way you can treat it is to find what the underlying cause is and try and attack that particular cause. But rapid breathing could be caused by so many different things that it wouldn't be fruitful just to tell them not to breathe fast, because they can't do that anyways. You have to find out what's causing it, and do something about the cause, and that's too complex an issue to go into.
I'll ask Dean Weber to thank the speaker, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I suspect that if we have thought about it at all, when we have thought about the issue of what ecologists do, people tend to think of them as hiding away in morgues and doing autopsies or looking at specimens of tissue which surgeons may have extirpated from one place or another and want some information about. I think it should be clear this evening that pathologists are scholars in the broadest sense, that they are concerned with the underlying basis of disease and what can be done to improve the human condition by better understanding the basis of disease. They play a pivotal role in hospitals in terms of the quality of care which the institution is able to provide. They play a key role in medical education because they bridge between our understanding of the normal structure and function of the various components of the body and the manner in which the body can go wrong and manifest itself in illness, which then may require some kind of treatment. I think we're very fortunate in having an excellent department of pathology, and I'm sure you will agree with me that we are really singularly fortunate in having Dr. Hogg as a member of that department.